I'm Elise Forbes with BYU Idaho Radio. Artist Angela Neely of Carmen D. Dragons joins me here by phone. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me today, Angela.
Oh, no problem at all.
So for our listeners who aren't familiar with the art that you do, your art business, Carmen D. Dragons, sells detailed dragon sculptures and other art. And I have to say, when I first saw your work on display, I couldn't fathom someone hand-making something like that. It's extremely detailed. Could you kind of explain the process of making one of your sculptures?
Oh, sure. It starts out with just the raw clay, and it's Primo Polymer Clay by Sculpe. And I choose the colors, and it's a very cathartic experience. I just let the clay become kind of what it wants to become. There's a lot of just feeling it out, really. So what you see in the finished project is basically my inner child, I guess, sneaking out.
Well, how did you start doing art focused on dragons?
Focused on dragons?
Mm-hmm.
I have always loved dragons, always. I'm going to age myself here and say that I'm a bit of an 80s, 90s kid. Mm-hmm. And in that time period, fantasy was all the rage. So I played with dragons and all kinds of things like that, but they never had anything that I really liked personally. So I started making my own toys. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm such a snob when I say I didn't like much of what was out there. When you look at toys, I swear that they make them so that they can be easily reproducible, but they take out a lot of the spirit of what was originally in that form, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So you would make your own toys as a kid. How old were you when you were doing this?
One of my primary teachers, gave me my first blocks of Primo Polymer Clay when I was, I want to say 8 years old. But before then, you know, I used to make mud pancakes for my mom, and she would pretend to enjoy that. And my grandmother had Play-Doh, and I would always go over there and just create this magical world of, like, these colored mushrooms and these snails, and but the polymer clay definitely came around when I was 8 years old, and I actually sold my first little polymer clay dragon on the playground in the fifth grade, and I got busted by the lunch lady. She told me that I couldn't sell it there because kids weren't buying their lunch; they were buying my little dragons.
You were competition.
So, busted.
Wow. And so my next question was, when you started your business, I guess you could say that it started in elementary school, right? In the cafeteria.
Yeah, you could. You could say I was like an early entrepreneur. Honestly, I didn't have any kind of way to acquire more clay at that age because I didn't have an allowance. So I sold things in order to buy more clay, in order to play more. So that was the main reason behind selling anything at that age. The business started officially in 2010,
okay.
2009. I had a really good job, and with the downturn of the economy around that time, around 2008 and all that, I had been let go of my job, and I had a car payment. And I prayed about what I needed to do in order to make that car payment. And I had been, you know, sculpting for a long time. I was never brave enough to really put it out there to sell it. But that situation kind of forced me to grow up a little bit and start listing things and selling things online.
Wow. Was that kind of a difficult process to start selling something that had been, you know, your childhood thing?
In the beginning, when you're not very good, and I wish I could show you some of the early work compared to what I do now, mm-hmm. the process of having a business and needing to make money really forces you to grow. Mm-hmm. And I've grown a lot throughout the process. But when you're first starting out, you want to hold on to everything because it's like, oh, I made this landmark and I made this landmark with this one and I'm so attached to it. But you learn to let it go when you realize that you can repeat that process and get something even better than mm-hmm. what you first created. So it becomes easier the more that you work, the better that you get at things. There are a few pieces that I keep. Is they're nostalgic or because they represent something to me as an artist, as a landmark. But a lot of it, I am willing to let go because I know that people really love them. They cherish them. I hear stories all the time. I get little notes and things from customers about how I made that engagement wonderful with this one precious little item that was customized for their partner, or how I made somebody's birthday just amazing, or their Christmas. And that, knowing that the artwork has a home with somebody else, allows me to be okay letting it go.
That's special to be able to not only sell your artwork, but hear about the impact that it makes and how it's special to other people.
Because I don't, it's not, how do I say this? It's not amazing to me because I deal with it every day. Maybe this is like imposter syndrome or something like that. But to other people, they're like, wow, look at that thing you did. But I've been here for the whole entire learning process. So I always thought that they were just little trinkets. So when people enjoy them the way that they do, I find a lot of self-worth in that. And maybe that's a little shallow, but sometimes you need an outside perspective to tell you that you're amazing.
That totally makes sense. I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to. Sometimes you need that mm-hmm. extra pat on your back from someone who hasn't been there through the whole process to say, this is just amazing. And so how you're a student right now, that's correct?
Yes.
So how do you balance working and selling your art and then studying? Are you able to overlap those, you know, use your art for a lot of your school projects? How does that balance work?
Sometimes I'm more successful than other times. I originally started school right out of high school, and I made some mistakes and didn't think that I wanted my education anymore, so I left, and then I started my business. And then I got to a point where I realized that I did want my education, so I came back to get it. And it's easier when you want something to make the sacrifices that are involved in getting that something. So work combined with education, I found a way that they kind of work in tandem. Like, the education that I received from BYU has improved my artwork, both the illustration side of my artwork and the sculpture side, immensely. Like, there was one semester where I had art classes from like 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Wow.
And I grew so much with what I was putting out for my business and what I was putting out for homework. Art is one of those things that is just involved in everything that you do, everything that you see, everything that you create. So I never looked at it as homework. It was always kind of play. I guess that's the best way that I can describe it to you, is that it's a form of learning play. And that's something that you have to learn to enjoy, that struggle with how you grow and how you become stronger, both with your education and with your business. One of the wonderful things about the business is it allows me to go to school at the same time and have an income, which is amazing because I pick my own hours. Sometimes that means that I'm up until like 4 o'clock in the morning, but I did it willingly.
And you're doing something you love.
It gets kind of crazy around Christmas. And for much of the year, it's pretty steady unless I do, like, a convention. I'll go to FanEx or I'll go to California and do a convention. And then you'll have, like, a week of extreme intensity, and then you'll just come home and be like, okay, can I fall apart now? Yeah. I don't want to do homework. I don't want to do anything. And then you have to force yourself to kind of get back into the flow of things. So the teachers are really amazing. They recognize when you have a professional career outside of your education. They understand that really well, because a lot of the art teachers anyway, have their fingers in the art industry at the same time that they are teaching. Mm. So they get it. They understand. And they work with you and help you to get the most that you can out of your education.
And as you look forward to eventually graduating and having all of this knowledge that you have through your business and education, do you have any future plans for your business or art career? Do you have ideas of expanding or I don't know, any plans for the future in that regard?
I'm considering a couple of options. This next February, I will have my work in an actual physical shop downtown on Park Avenue. It's called Idaho Handmade, and it's in downtown Idaho Falls, the old historic downtown. The person who opened that shop, she's like, I love your stuff. I was following you before I even knew that you lived in Idaho. I need your stuff in my shop. And I was like, okay. So it's going into a physical location. There's one thing about an art degree is you have to have your fingers in a lot of cookie jars. So you are looking for work, and when you can't find work, you make your own work. Is kind of how that goes. So what I look forward to is doing the conventions and continuing to do trade shows, because I like to travel, I like to meet new people, I like the challenge that is. But at the same time, I might consider possibly internships with Bandai, with a toy company, just to see how they do things. It depends. There's a lot of options that are available to people that are willing to try. Sometimes I'm afraid of the success that's involved with getting bigger and becoming more known. You know, when people start recognizing you, you get a little bit, oh no, I'm losing my anonymity. I can't just do whatever I want anymore. I have to start paying attention to that public side of who you are, and that can be hard for artists, because we're so used to being like cloistered off, just working on our stuff and not really handling the business side or the fame side of what we do. For me, I think I would really enjoy going and getting my MBA and then possibly teaching on the side. Just because the people that I had in my life early as art teachers really shaped me into the person who I am now. And I would like to be that for somebody else at some point down the line. Maybe when I get tired of all the shows and the fame and everything. Just being there to inspire young artists to go forward and to chase it. Because it's a lot of people say it's hard, and it is, but if you love it, and you love it enough to make the sacrifices to make it great and good for yourself, then it'll work.
Very true. And the world needs art. It needs artists. Speaking about that, the idea of inspiring younger artists, what advice would you give to beginning artists who are maybe looking to find their niche, what they're good at? Or even to people who don't consider themselves artistic, but could maybe benefit from having a creative outlet?
You know, I would say don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what other people think. Don't be afraid of what the world thinks about art or about art degree. It's a language. It's a science. It's a way that we communicate both with ourselves and with each other. So it's like you're talking, but with paint or with sculpture or with drawing. So some people need to talk out their emotions, and that means, oh, you know, painting with your feet all over a canvas with highly toxic paint, you know. Do it, you know. Don't sell yourself short. I've met quite a few people that, and in fact, my mother is one of these people. She has artistic tendencies. And the reason why she didn't pursue it was because somebody made a negative comment about one of her drawings. And so she just gave up there. You can't, if you love art and you love the way you feel when you make art, you can't let other people's opinions get in the way, because that's like them making fun of the way you talk. So keep talking, keep trying. If you're, if you want to pursue it as a career, it does involve sacrifices. And those sacrifices mean studying and practicing and building the skill. And you can't get away from that. There's no easy way to turn it into a money-making career.
Right. It takes, you have to want it.
Yes, you have to want it. Well, and it's a lot like any other job. Surgeons, you have to do the surgical practice. You have to do the medical practice. You have to understand what you're doing. It's the same thing with art. You have to understand where everything comes from. Or if you're a 2D artist, you have to understand the illusion of making things look three-dimensional. You can't just avoid backgrounds and drawing backgrounds for the rest of your life and just draw characters. I mean, I guess you could, but it's not well-rounded. You need to understand that it's a skill and that it can be learned and that it takes time and effort to learn. So you have to practice.
Totally. Well, for our listeners who are hearing about your art and how, I mean, in my opinion, I'm going to restart that. For our listeners who are listening right now and are curious to see your art, where can they go to look at what you've made and also to purchase some of your pieces?
So I have both an Instagram and an Etsy shop, and they are under Carmen D. Dragons. That's, should I spell it out, or C-A-M?
Sure.
R-E-O-S? No. No, I won't spell it out because
I'll put it in the title.
Okay, no problem. So there is an Etsy shop. You can request things because the shop is kind of lean right now. Everything that I haven't posted quite yet after the farmer's market. So, and after the Christmas rush, which was crazy this year. So things are slowly ending up in the shop, but there are things there. Then the handmade shop downtown on Park Avenue in Idaho Falls in February is when I should have a little booth there.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Oh, thank you for asking.
Of course. This has been a conversation with artist Angela Neely of Carmen D. Dragons. All right.